Now, I don't want to delay this morning session any longer. I've made Bill Shirk wait 15 minutes, and that's not fair. I'm going to tell you just a little bit about him, and then I'm going to let him go on and do what he needs to do. In 1967, he joined the Center for the Study of Pop Culture. And his basic purpose there, as I recall, was to establish a collection of records for use by researchers, as well as for use by students involved in class assignments. Is that more or less correct? And for those of you who don't already know it, next year we are going to be meeting at Bowling Green, and Bill Shirk will be our host there. And so it's with great pleasure that I present him to you a year early, Bill Shirk.
Thank you, Peter. Well, I'm not one to stand still. I have ants in my pants. And I know that I'm going to be limited to the time because we start a little late, and I see my two gentlemen who will be following me. I know I will watch their feet as they tap, waiting for me to end. But at the same time, I'll try to end quite a bit close to the time allotted to my... For any of you who do not know what party records are, and I'm looking to see if we have any underage people here, because the more I've spoken to people, and what's been such a joy over the last two or three days, I found more and more people are really coming out of the closet and admitting that they like, and now I realize I should have put on dirtier stuff. So my apologies if it isn't blue enough. I mean, that's going to be my apology, but... But other than that, party records basically are dirty, right? Okay, they're, generally speaking, 78 RPM records, normally not sold to the general public through general commercial record stores out on the top, on the shelves. Normally, if you wanted a party record, you could go to maybe your favorite record store, but you would sort of sidle up to the counter and say, you get any new ones in? And you would, then they would bring out the stack of records, and I went to Great Escape the other day and was able to get the first grab on the party records, but I know a lot of other people depleted their supply from about this many records down to, about this many records. Many less, right. Not less brown either. Oh, that could have been a title of a tune, too. These are some examples of party records. I apologize that these have labeled names on them, because there were some that were issued with fictitious names or names that related strictly to that record company. Like here we have a recording on the Good Humor label. Most of them related to comedy in one way or the other. Here, All the Horse Manure. Of course, remember, she was only Stableman's daughter, but All the Horse Manure, right. Good Humor label. Here's a more regularized label, the radio label. Benny Bell recorded on that, of course, his famous shaving cream. Here's another Benny Bell on the Bell label, different design. Party Records, all right. I wanted to go a little bit into the packaging right at the end. Okay, so these did have names to the labels. There were many of them, of course, that were nameless. Before I bought these, we probably had about 50 or 60 party records in the collection, the Sound Recordings Archives. The ones that had labels I had to pull out so I could refer to, but then we have a section at the end which are all the white labels, and many of them are difficult to identify unless you listen, because the owners many times would write one or two words which related to the subject on the record, like one had Roan. R-O-A-N. Well, you listen to what it's the Strawberry Roan recording, which we will be hearing. Another one's Electrician or Dentist. And you listen to Automobile. And each one of those, you know, has a specific title. And what I've discovered is that the titles varied from pressing to pressing, as did the pressings vary, because a lot of these were pressed by major record companies. But of course, the label, of course, did not indicate so. And so some of the records were pressed very well on good shellac. Others were pressed on your favorite sandpaper like Gray Gulls and Radiex records. And so we will hear a variance in surface noise in some of the material I have. I really want to get into playing some of this material. Now the first one, we're going to begin and end with the same type of material. And I've placed the three different categories for most of the material. We have copulation, masturbation, and osculation. That's three things which you see, and or not see, but hear. Excuse me, I'm not going to act out any of these. Especially the candle song, which we don't have on here. Bought song about a girl who bought candles, but not for lighting them. All right. So what I want to do first is play what I discovered to be white label records. The first is, and what we're talking about are things that related or had their roots in early vaudeville and burlesque sketches, comedy routines. This is where you find a lot of the early party records coming from. And this first one here, I know I've probably maybe have seen on the stage of the Roxy in Cleveland, but the first one here is two men in a small comedy sketch called Barbershop Discord. All right?
Ah, good morning, sir. What could I do you for?
Well, boys at the hotel told me that this is the best barbershop in town.
Ah, that's right. 30 years already, I was here in one spot, chasing only the best of people.
Okay, hop to it.
Well, I took it right into town now.
Once over light will do me. I gotta catch the 11:10.
That's right. Once over light like lightning. How do you like my big joke,
eh? Lousy, sir.
Oh, don't mention it, but only please. Shut the eyes, only you get the light in the mouth. But that is better. Oh, yes, for 30 years, I chased only the nicest people. Never did I get no bums in my barbershop. No, sir. You know, my motto has always been, a good shave brings back the customer at any one. Always treat the gentleman just like you. Please, Mr. That's not nice. Didn't I wash your told you I never shave nothing but gentlemen? Please, I ask you. You wouldn't do that no more. I don't like that.
All right. Go on with your shaving. You know accidents will happen, Fritzy.
The name is Rudolph. Rudolph Schmuck. Once so long it was accident. Well, I don't set nothing for it.
All right.
Hey, fine, Scotty. You know, you've got that dog business. In all the years that I was shaving, never have I seen such a... That's a dumb. Oh, you do that again, eh? Such a rotten business what you got here. You come in my shop, once I treat you like a gentleman, and you make for my shop a toilet. I don't have the good for that, once I wouldn't support. You are a bum. Get out of the chair. Get out of my shop. Get out from my knife, and don't come back.
Now listen, where's
my name? My name is Rudolph. Rudolph.
All right, Adolf.
Now don't get yourself all set first. That's just a little step of mine. You're all wrong in what you said.
Now look, but I put my hands together like this, huh? And I squeeze them hard like this.
Everybody can do that.
And there you have it. Did you see that, sir?
How do you make that smell? Well, unless he had a little smell pellet in his hand. This is just the beginning. Other party records were basically a vehicle for a group of swear words to be brought together, you know, into a story. People like to hear things that normally the technological advances didn't allow through normal distribution. You can think of other technological and artistic advances where soon the general public was able to latch on to the prurient interests of that particular medium and be able to make it brought to the lowest level. like beginning, of course, you had comic books, and then you, of course, are familiar with the little eight-pagers. Polaroid cameras soon have, of course, reached a different usage, including exchange of pictures. So we're talking about, and of course, how many times have you made a tape recording of yourself doing something or speaking something, but saying it in such a way that you would have not heard those words on the air? I had a friend in college that was an excellent artist, cartoonist, and each one of us would come up to him and say, how about have Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck doing this? Or Goofy and Oswald the Rabbit doing this, you know? And, you know, so this is what we're talking about, or doing that. but what I want to play now is a small portion of the famous Uncle Tom's Cabin sketch, which opens up, to give you the opening, supposedly two whores are sitting at a table talking about a specific show that they saw. But it's usually always a man that portrays the woman. And here he's sobbing into a handkerchief and talking about him seeing Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Happened to you? Well, the horse says, well, I'll tell you, dear. She says, you know, that business has been lousy with me all week. And she said the day I thought I'd cheer myself up and go see a show. And she says, I went to see a show called Uncle Tom's Cabin. She said there was the meanest son of a bitch in there. A guy named Simon Legree. And he was just kicking the shit out of an old nigger with a great big goddamn whip. Poor bastard wasn't in a goddamn thing to it, but he just beat the shit out of him. Then she says there was a little cousin there named Eliza. And she was trying to get out of the goddamn town. They were chasing her out or something. She had a little baby with her. It was no other time. She gets out of this goddamn river and it's all frozen over and ice cubes. Christ, the biggest goddamn ice cubes I ever saw in my life. She starts across this river and they set some dogs after her. Dogs bigger than goddamn pole ponies. Chasing her across this goddamn river, just snapping on her eyes every minute. I went to get her. She got away. Then she said there's a little cousin named Eva. Died. She said he went up to heaven. And they're hauling her up to heaven on this rope, and there's some goddamn rope, no empty. That face, like a Turkman, tall cow's ass. Goddamn, the sweet I ever put. Pass me the butter, will you?
Pass me the butter, will you? They were. Another type of party record, of course, were the double entendre songs. Double entendre songs, of course, were well known in the commercial record field, mainly through the efforts of a lot of the both the rural and urban blues singers. But in addition to those, which of course many of those did fall, were into the what you would call the party record genre. They were nationally distributed as best as they could on legitimate labels. But a lot of the double entendre records weren't as double as you would think. And of course, this led into a number of songs which had a little bit more freedom of speech. And many of them, of course, were mistaken identities, mistaken actions, someone's hearing something behind a door, and it turned out to be something else, and a man and woman talking about a specific item that the girl maybe had. And of course, it was supposed to relate to one thing, but in fact, it related just to this, you know, bracelet or what have you. One song which has been, you know, very popular in the country genre, but also into the party field, party record. In fact, we're really talking about party records that were into, you know, had related to both country music and to the popular and also to blues recordings. But what I want to do here is play this straight popular version of a song. Let's see, what first we have A Sexual Encounter. That's what I wanted to play for you first. Which is not in any way a double entendre recording, because I want to show you something at the end of the talk that relates into modern day recordings related to sexual encounters. But this is one which is called Darling Dearest. It's from a unlabeled record.
Kisses.
Those make everything more wonderful. Hold me closer, dear.
Will I? Do you mind if I put my hand there?
No, not really.
Well, remember, those belong to me now.
Yes, darling. Bill. Bill.
Yeah?
That's something I told you never to do. Bill, do you hear me? That's one place you can't put your hand. Bill, stop it this instant.
But, honey, we're going to be married in less than a week. Why can't I just...
No. I told you before.
No, but I've been waiting for nearly 3 years, and it sure is hard.
Bill, I'll tell you just once more. After I get your wedding ring on my finger, everything I have will be yours. But not until then.
But you do let me put my hands on your...
And besides, you don't put your hand inside my dress and actually touch me.
Maybe not. What I will play now is the double entendre song that is called the Dental Song, and it was on a labeled record. It was called the Whiz Label, all right? The Whiz Label, and we're going to listen to the Dental Song.
Last night, while in my office, working rather late, the time was just exactly 8:30, when from the office right next door, I heard a lady groan. It scared me for a moment. I was all alone. I climbed up to the transom as lightly as a bird. I couldn't see a thing, but this is what I heard.
For goodness sake, don't groan like that. Why do you groan away like that? It's bound to hurt a little bit.
But first of all, just let me look at it.
For goodness sake, don't start to kick. That isn't gonna help the trick. If you will only trust in me,
I'll be as easy as I can be.
I can't do a thing with you if you're gonna fret and fume. And furthermore, I'm not supposed to chase you round and round and round the room. For goodness sake, don't shake like that. Why do you squirm around like that? And will you please put down your knees?
I can't work on you like that.
For goodness sake, you'll drive me wild. Come on, quit acting like a child. If you will just cooperate, in a little while you'll be feeling great. Relax.
Just want to get the ending.
Open wide, so I can get this thing inside. Hold on tight, steady, there. You do this out, you'll be all right. For goodness sake, don't tell me that. How can I put that to back?
Another, and probably the most enjoyable of sources for party records, were outtakes from recording sessions. What is nice is that, like any type of material that we're listening to today, one person seated by himself or herself listening to it is not half as much enjoyment as enjoying it with a crowd or your friends, all right? So that's why I'm glad you're all here, so that we can enjoy it together. Can you imagine me trying to audition these tapes by myself in my room last night? You know, we didn't get half the fun as I am here today, everybody laughing and snickering and poking the elbows. And that's what party records are all about. And even though the other ones we've heard are staged, the ones that we're listening to, the next three, I'm going to play them in succession, were, of course, not that they weren't staged, but they weren't meant at any way for public distribution. First, we're going to hear, and I know some of you jazz and bluesy enthusiasts probably are already aware of this, but the Lucille Bogan 1935 recording of Shave 'Em Dry. Now, this comes from an outtake from a 1935 session that she made for ARC. It has appeared, I know, at least twice on reissue LPs, one on Screening the Blues from England and another one on the Copulation Blues album on Stash. But they, of course, both were taken from 78s, because you can hear a lot of surface noise. But I'm proud to say that our copy is in much better condition, and you can understand the words a lot better. And the next one we're going to hear is an outtake from a two-sided record we got, both with outtakes from Bing Crosby sessions. And the one that we're going to listen to is Jimmy Valentine, where he breaks up in the session. He makes a mistake, and he swears, you know, Bing Crosby swearing. And then the last is by a mystery group, mystery to such an extent that even Bob Pinson couldn't tell me who the group was, but it was a very well-known country swing band recording, probably from the early 1940s, of the Strawberry Roan, which in our own minds we give it the title of the castration of the Strawberry Roan. So we'll hear these three songs in succession.
Now your nuts hang down like a damn bell saddle, and your dick stands up like a steeple. Your goddamn asshole stands up like a church door. Crab walks in like steeple. Ow!
You can tell they had a lot more enjoyment making this than the one that was released.
Baby won't change that. A big sow gets fat from eating corn, and a pig gets fat from sucking. Do you see this poor fat like I am? Thank God I got fat for fucking. Whee! Damn right!
Look out, look out for Jimmy Valentine, for he's a pal of mine. Sentimental for me, with a touch that lingers in his sandpaper fingers. He can find the combination of your pocket book. Look out, look out, for when you see his lantern shine, that's the time to jump right up and shout to help, for he's just trying to stop losing the time. And I'm the best in the world.
Well, the boss held his head while I untied his legs, and I reached for my jackknife and went for his eggs. When I opened his bag, why he let out a moan, and he squealed like a pig when I whittled one stone. But all I could locate was one of his nuts. The other was hidden someplace in his gut. So I rolled up my sleeves and swam in blood. I slipped to the seat in the guts of the shut. Well, I thought that I'd found it. I felt something pass, but it was only a turd on the way to his ass. Just then I heard one of them blood-curdling squalls, and I looked in the road, had the box by the balls.
Great stuff. Another form of party record is not as prevalent in the party record market. It is the composite record, a record made up of sections from various other recordings. Most of you probably are familiar with a lot of the commercial recordings that are available. Of course, the historic Happiness Boys Twisting the Dials record, which they have a dialogue plus inserts, drops from various recordings from the Victor our archives. Of course, at that time it wasn't an archive, just right from their catalog. Then, of course, the famous Flying Saucer records from the middle 1950s by Buchanan and Goodman. But this was done probably around 1949, 1950, something like this. And it is called This Is It, or The Purple Passion. And it's taken from excerpts from radio shows and popular songs of the day, including If I Knew You Were Coming, I'd Have Baked a Cake. Okay, so I thought you'd really enjoy this.
Raging Passion. I know
you can't say that over the radio.
This is it. Oh, honey, it's me.
Maybe I am just a dame, but you've never known a dame like me. I know what I want and how to get it.
But I've had a tough day already.
I know I have something you want, baby. Why don't you try me for size for 13 weeks?
Good advice.
How much?
$12.
Uh-huh. Come closer, honey. Put your arms around me and...
Look inside, Dickie's pan. It doesn't blink out of shape like an old crumped up spring when it works.
Except that it's painted blue. That'll have to come off.
What are we wasting time for? Hurry! Hurry! Hurry!
Dear, why do you get in such a stew?
It's enough to drive a man crazy.
And yet it's easy to get into and out of.
Just press the edge and it snaps open.
It has a comfort cut lining.
Four bounce to the out, four bounce to the out.
It's wonderful.
Would you repeat that, please?
It's wonderful, wonderful.
You've got to come at once. No, no, don't talk, just come.
How about coming along with your old man?
The outlaw is coming.
Beautiful. Love it. Love it. How many of these people are alive today? All right. Another type of party record, as I mentioned earlier, were on legitimate labels sung by people with real names, and the records were probably sold over the counter. They probably weren't quite as risque, but yet at the same time, once you listen to them, you realize they're somewhat of the same quality. One of
the entire catalog consisted of basically double entendre songs, like the Kanaka song. She's got the biggest Kanakas in Hawaii. The Wong song, Mr. Wong has the biggest tong in China. The automobile song, Will You Love Me When My Carburetor's Empty? Will You Love Me When My Dipstick Is Bent? You know, things like this. And they first came out on 78s, okay? 78 RPM records, and then later on in the early 50s, the same songs were re-recorded onto album product, and we have a number of these in the collection. Here we have Listen and Laugh featuring LV, which of course is Larry Vincent, and the song that I took off of a 78 because they had a little bit more power to them. On the 78, we're going to listen to a little bit of Buster Astor, all right?
I met the strangest guy the other day. When I heard his name, I didn't know what to say. It was Buster Astor, Buster Astor, what a funny name. Buster Astor, Buster Astor, maybe it's a game. Everywhere he goes, the ladies all let out a cheer. Buster Astor, Buster Astor, that is all I hear. Astor, Buster, Buster Astor, I'll soon go off my nut if they keep this up. Of all the names he could have got that would have done him good, he got Buster Astor, Buster Astor, and I wish they would.
That came into a lot of... For some reason, that went into about a minute of an accordion solo, and I can't figure out why, but it turned... Pardon me? Phil Baker on the accordion. Okay, that's what I knew. It was somebody that was fairly accomplished. Another major label that existed during in the middle and late 1930s, the Liberty Music Shop label, which catered to more of the show biz oriented crowd, somewhat such as Commodore Records did for the jazz field. Liberty Music Shop recorded artists that couldn't get certain, either their entire catalog recorded for a major label, or artists that wanted to sing material that probably wasn't allowed to be recorded by maybe their major record company label. But Liberty Music Shop had artists like Bruce Fletcher, Beatrice Lilly, and a very funny, at this time, male comedian, Ray Bourbon, R-A-Y. Ray Bourbon did a whole series of comedy records for Liberty Music Shop. He had partially, I'm not sure how much of a sex change he had, but he had somewhat of a sex change, and by the 1950s, he was known as R-A-E Ray Bourbon. Pardon me? All right. And he made a number of albums, and that's, I forgot to bring them. So many things I
try to remember to bring, but Ray Bourbon made a number of LPs in the late 1950s for the UTC label. He was the sole performer on that label. But what I want to play now is Ray Bourbon's recording on the Liberty Music Shop label called Oriental Opera with Jack Burke on piano.
I say to them, no, you can't work first. I work first. I know more. So I get up and go to work thusly. You see, I go to the window, I start to parade. I'm nothing but a strip queen out of work, and I'm parading to and fro across the window, and on my head I'm wearing a pair of large white major begonias over each ear, and my eyes are pulled up thusly into slants. You see, I'm looking through cracks. That ain't new either. So anyway, I'm parading and carrying on, and I don't do a bit of good, not a bit of good, so I have to go back and sit down and wait my turn. I'm a gasher girl, and I have to wait. Then my other sister, Madame Hopton, she rushes down to the window, her kimono flies open, bats fly out. Oh, it's a wonderful scene. We were going to use pigeons, but they're too bulky, bats won't buzz. So we let her parade, and she does a wonderful thing called stick out your can, here comes the garbage man, and finishes with a fan dinger called You Can't Tell the Difference After Dark.
Wow, when I heard that click, I thought of something wrong. Whoa. Another major recording label of the middle 1940s was the Blue Label out of Los Angeles, which was founded and begun by Dootsie Williams, who went on to tremendous fame in the 1950s with two major recordings. One is the repertoire of Red Fox, which made him countless dollars, and the recording of Earth Angel by the Penguins. So, but his original label, party record label of the late 1940s was the Blue Label, of course, named appropriately, and they were basically up-tempo jazz and double entendre songs, and one of the major artists that recorded for the early Blue Label was Hattie Noel, and another was Billy Mitchell, and Billy Mitchell was a very accomplished musician, and he would perform songs that probably were part of the earlier blues repertoire. But with the recording I have right now, this was the first recording on the Blue Label, Blue Label 101, and most of the time that artist plus Dootsie Williams was always listed as the composer credit. But this one here, only William, as was listed, William Mitchell was listed as the composer credit. But this is Billy Mitchell singing Song of the Woodpecker.
Now you heard the song of the bird in the gilded cage. Now we're gonna have the song of the woodpecker. I tweet, 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 quack, quack. Caught this bird in the neighborhood, pecking away on a piece of wood. He pecked and he pecked on my barn door. They tell me this pecker sore, so fair. Pecker sore. So fair. Bad luck bird. Now the woodpecker is this little bird's name. When you start pecking it, it's a shame. In my neighborhood, he's boss. Cause his pecker don't get soft. So fair.
Another one artist-oriented label, which was named after the artist, was a Wallace Originals label with Ruth Wallace as the sole performer. She put out both 78s and LPs. This is one of her earlier LPs, real nice picture of her. It reminds you a little bit of Dorothy Shay, remember the Park Avenue Hillbilly, and those were on the Columbia label, but they were sort of risque, but as I say, probably this was more of in the party genre. Give you an idea of some of the titles. 4F Papa, Stay Out of My Pantry, Johnny's Little Yo-Yo, The Cowboy Song, Long Playing Daddy, here we go into the technology of long playing record, and Goldmine, probably not named after the Record Collectors magazine, I'm sure. The one I want to play now is from one of the early 78s. It's called, they probably recorded in the late 1940s. It's called Stay Out of My Pantry. And the company originated out of Linden, New Jersey.
You gotta stay out of my pantry, mister. That stuff don't go with the rest. You gotta stay out of my pantry, mister. you're making for bigger dent. But just because I'm stacked away up high, don't mean that you can stick your nose in my supply. That husband of mine, he sure sleeps sound. He doesn't know when you're fooling around. You've been on a merry-go-round, mister, since you moved in with me. You gotta stay away from my goodies. You just can't expect extras for free. Now I don't mind if you grab a little nibble on the side. Why should my husband have to pay for your ride? On account of you, Mr. Porter, I've been giving my man short orders.
Kind of cutesy poo, but get the idea. Another, we'll say, seminal artist. Excuse me, I meant to apologize because I talk in double entendres. But who also recorded again for his own label, Fiskiana, and also for another label, the Gala label, of which basically two or three artists were on their catalog list. One was Charlie Drew with his witty ditties. And also, as I mentioned, Dwight Fisk. And for many years, I never knew what Dwight Fisk looked like. You're free to come up and look at these afterwards, but Dwight Fisk actually is a dwarf. He made a lot of very, quote, sophisticated party recordings. A lot of them were sort of double entendre. They were all of his own composition. They were very inventive. He was sort of, in a way, the Tom Lehrer of the 40s and 50s, in a fashion. Pardon me?
30.
Yeah, in 30s. Yeah. Right, well, I was going back one. Right, 30s and 40s. And and one of his mentors was Tallulah Bankhead. Tallulah Bankhead sort of took him under her wing and tried to promote him. excuse me.
Probably did.
Yeah, right. but I remember reading an article about him a long time ago where he was trying to market his records through the mail. And he had a lot of trouble with the postal authorities because they considered his material pornographic. And so, as I say, he had a lot of problems there. But the one I want to play now is a portion of his recording on the Gala label, Gala label 189, out of New York City, The Hair of the Wolf, of a Wolf.
Won't you step in and have a slice of your late grandmother on rye toast with a glass of Budweiser? Or better still, join me in a few calisthenics in the garage to Tommy Dorsey's band.
I've come for just one thing, Mr. Wolf, said Red Riding Hood. She was a bass, shaved twice a day. I've come for that fur coat you promised me, and I want it now! Shh, said Mr. Wolf. Don't wake up Mrs. Wolf. Well, hangovers only last until 7:30. Besides, I have a terrible headache myself. Let's go in the garage and have a breath of carbon monoxide. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it was here that Mr. Wolf saw for the first time that Red Riding Hood was no longer a little girl. She was big enough to carry a small creature from his in her left hand and a big wallop in her right.
My, 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 cried Mr. Wolf. How you've grown since you slipped through my teeth at that unfortunate dinner party at the Widow Pullet's. Won't you join me at the punching bag?
Yes, said Red Riding Hood.
She tapped him on the button with her tiny mitt. Help! 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 Cried Mr. Wolf. It's Be Kind to Dumb Animal Week.
Well, that's just a little bit of his repertoire. Actually, what we've been listening to are basically 78s and a few 10-inch LPs, which came in only at the beginning of the period where record marketing was really geared toward a person asking for a record by title or artist rather than by selecting it by the cover design. So when you move into the long playing record field, you were dealing more with the visual concept than just the concept of the artist and title, and by knowledge you knew something about that particular performance. There were a few 78s which were released which had suggestive labels that supposedly were to attract the listener. Here's one on the Kix label where a nice sultry girl is laying on the label. But most of the 78s were not packaged to be sold visually. But when you get into the LP market, you get into album cover design, and the early LPs, of course, weren't too suggestive, such as example of like the classic Red Fox. This is the first Red Fox LP on Dutone with his famous new soap sketch, which I have here.
Folks, I have another sponsor that I'd like to mention, a wonderful soap that's just on the market for the holidays.
This is from 1956.
You'll do yourself a great favor if you go down to your supermarket Monday morning. They're staying open until noon Thursday for you to buy some of this new soap spelled F-U-G-G. Fug. There's no soap in the world to compare with Fug. Red soap, chip soap, does none. Fug has so many advantages. Just as, for instance, ladies, suppose your husband works on a dirty job, like in a coal mine, on a truck, in a garage. When he comes home all dirty and nasty, when he opens the door and walks in the house, tell him to go Fug yourself.
Love that. And also his famous leapfrog sketch where the midget and the tall guy were playing leapfrog, and the tall guy was kept getting his business in the little guy's nose, and the little guy kept his business in the big guy's business. Another very famous party record artist of the 1960s and early 70s was Doug Clark and his Hot Nuts. Again, an artist who has his own label. Appropriately, the name of the label is Gross. All right. And he has a number of other albums on this label. We have most of them in our collection. Let me see. It says right here, "Hi, friend. You know we groove dance records, too. And believe me, they are groovy. Latch on to these for an opener. Baby, Let Me Bang Your Box. Curie with Hot Canoy. Milk the Cow. And Go, Doug, Go." But under here, it says, "Hot Nutsly Yours, Doug Clark." But his first album is Nuts to You, and then On Campus is what I think is his most famous one. Homecoming and Rush Week, and here we have Panty Raid. Okay, this harks to a recording which we picked up fairly recently from one of our students, where they took a couple rock and roll recordings, played them in the background so you could hear them in the background, then they stood up mic front and sang their own lyrics. And they donated this tape to our collection, which is really nice. And another time, somebody wanted a tape job done, and they gave us the tape, and we were going to put the material on. Of course, it was in the middle of the cassette, so, you know, you have to rewind. Then, of course, you're going to bulk erase it. But, you know, the good Samaritan that I am, I wanted to hear what he had on his tape. You know, nosy. So I put it on, and it was some great raunchy nightclub singing, you know, really. I mean, it was right in the middle of the 12 Days of Christmas, which, of course, I didn't want to play it, but I mean, because I didn't have it at the time, but the famous version of the 12 Days of Christmas. But what I want to play for you now is a little bit of the limerick section of Doug Clark and his Hot Nuts Panty Raid LP. That line is from an old party record we also have.
There was a young lady from Munich who had an affair with her eunuch. At the height of their passion, he dealt her a ration from a swagger at the seal in his tunic. Ay, 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 ay.
queen who invented a banging machine. Concave on her face, it would fit in the face, and it was perfectly simple to clean.
As I say, don't you just love it? Another very major label from the 60s and 70s, which originally catered to the black comedy market to compete with Dutone, was the Laugh label. Now, the Laugh label has really developed into a company which features major comedy artists that cannot either get any of their recordings done by major labels, or major artists who can't get some of their material to be done by, say, their own label, like Richard Pryor, who records for Reprise and also Warner Brothers. Some of his lesser known material has appeared on Laugh, and also George Carlin's material has appeared on the Laugh label. But the original intent of Laugh Records was to create a black comedy record market, and the graphics on their early albums are very vivid here, and this one here is "Mother is Half a Word" by the queen of comedy, of course, is a Lawanda Page. Remember her from Red Fox. But she comes in pregnant, says, "But I'm a verge," and then the nurse says, "A who?" And the doctor or someone sitting here, Dr. M.F. Feelgood, says, "You're pregnant." But a number of other people of various statures have appeared, including a very good album by Mantan Moreland. One of the few albums of Mantan Moreland has appeared on the Laugh label. So you can see.
Doug, I'm sorry. Bill.
I'm almost done.
Unfortunately, we're running over, and I have to cut you off. Bill.
Oh, that's
good.
One more little, and that's it.
I can't. I apologize from the bottom of my heart.
I got. They want to hear the crepitation contest.
We started late,
but we've also run over the full amount of time, but all right.
What,
it's quick.
It.
Okay.
This is it. Okay. Okay. I wanted to finish. Oh, and packaging into 8 tracks. All right. 8 tracks. Here we have 8 tracks. The lustful sex life of a perverted nympho housewife right here. Okay. And another one on the audio stag and also on the funky finger label here. Fornicated female. Da 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 da. Okay. And there we go. Okay, so what I want to do is finish this with probably the most classic of all party records. We originally recorded on a number of different 78 sets in various configurations. This is probably taken from the original 78 set, but put on a 10-inch LP on the Glick label. This is a portion of the famous, I told you I was going to end it like I began it, with the another windy situation.
Turns his back, puts his hand on his hips, and he leaves a freak right in Paul Boomer's face.
It's between Paul Boomer and Lord Windishmere.
He's a very low scorer, there are only 2 points, but to throw it away just as a gesture of defiance demonstrates a spirit of dash and recklessness which has made the Englishman the champion that he is. He's smiling disdainfully now as he returns to the center of the arena, bows to the judge to show that he's ready, and he'll... Hello, what's this? He's not going to use the farting post. Lord Windishmere, the champion, in a final gesture of contempt, scorns the use of the farting post. Well, this is developing into a bit of a grudge contest. He has his hands on his hips, free to fart. He's slightly bent, and a sitzler, his first attempt, is and another one, two in a row, and another one, a third, 3 sitzlers in a row. A tremendous effort, 60 points in his first 30 seconds. I count. And 1, 2, 3, 4 fuzzies. 4 fragrant fuzzies in rapid succession. It's a pleasure to see the ease and comfort with which his lordship leaves his fart.
And I hope we've all had a good party here and we've all learned a little bit more about party records. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.